The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Into the dead black air, that spooky time is finally here. Carter Doge and Jordan 2 must brace themselves and not get spooked by horror films both new and older in the evil that is Chunktober.
Hello and welcome to Two Chunks and a Hunk. My name is Jordan Wonders and this week I am your chunk.
I'm Doge, and I want your hunk, man. I want those things you hunk through.
And I'm Carter.
Chunk him, Grandpa.
I'm pretty sure it's Granddad. I can't believe you messed that up so bad. Hey, yeah, Doge.
That'll be a fun thing. Tell us what it really is, because we had some trouble there, and it's not on IMDb, but I think that's the best quote of the movie. So that's just me.
When she tells her granddad to throw him, chunk him, Granddad.
That's right.
Throw him clear over those mountains.
That Gimli, tackle.
That was great. The Gimli twist.
Doge.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Me couldn't help but notice.
Haircut?
You chopped it all off. Buzz cut. No, I couldn't help but notice that you did say hunk. Why?
Yeah. I had either the most validating experience of my professional career.
Okay.
Or the single most damaging experience of my professional career.
Dependent upon?
I video called into a meeting at work. And this was,
as you are famous of doing.
By the time you're hearing this, this was 2 weeks ago. So if I am unemployed or so aggressively employed that it's surprising, then you'll know that's what happened. You'll know that's why it happened.
Tell me.
But I video called into a meeting at work, and they put my call on the TV in the conference room, and somebody in the meeting was like, oh, this is awesome. We've got a 65-inch Doge to talk to. And I was like, yeah, I feel like Zordon. And they're like, you feel like what? And I was like, Zordon. You guys know Zordon, the big face guy. And they're like, I don't think I do, man. And I was like, really? You know, like Zordon. You're for Power Rangers, guys. Zordon.
What's your reaction to that?
And they were like, no, dude. I don't think I know that. And I hung up the call.
You just left.
I just left. It was
You just left the call.
Unsalvageable.
You doubled and then tripled down on Zordon.
I felt like I was living in some sort of parallel universe where I hallucinated all of Power Rangers. And I was like, I feel like it felt like I was like, that feels like a cultural touchstone, right? What is American society without Zordon? I'll say that.
It reminds me of when I tried to order a 20-piece chicken McNuggets in your car and just got...
Wait, you said it.
I got stun locked like a boss in a video game.
I forgot about that.
And just kept saying, I couldn't say it. I just kept being like, McNuggles. McNuggles. Chicken McNuggles. I couldn't say the real word.
Oh, man.
And Doge was driving, so I'm leaning over him in the driver's seat, screaming McNuggles.
McNuggle across the bow of my ship, like, as if to warn me.
It's like 1 a.m. on a Monday.
I didn't know this story, obviously.
Oof, I forgot about that. That is totally what it was like. I got stuck in a Zordon loop, and then there was no way out but through.
Let's do something fun for once. Let's. I think we can we like to mess with the time continuum a lot on our podcast.
It's true.
What if in our world of recording, okay, Doge, you jump to our Instagram right now, simply do a poll, just ask who, do you know who Zordon is? A yes or no. They don't have to tell us what. Do you know who Zordon is? Okay. Maybe three options. Yes, no, huh? I don't know. That might count as a no. And then as we progress, at the end, could you tell us the results of that poll?
I absolutely will, 100%. I will definitely do that.
Okay, great.
And if you wanted to ask, like, do you know what McNuggles are?
We're going to do some actual research right now. Do you know who Zordon
is? Make sure we're spelling that right. There might be some Zordons and Zerdons out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Do you know who Zordon is? McNuggles. Right. I might have moments where I just kind of out of nowhere laugh a little bit in this episode. That's what it'll be.
Might geek out a little bit.
Let's do a little poll. This is exciting. Real data. Hard hitting journalism.
I'll tell you what, I'm gonna go respond to it right now as we're continuing. And the thing that we're continuing is our podcast, just so everybody's on the same page. And this podcast is entering and beginning right now the third movie of our Chunktober series. Which is, of course, Get Out. And look, I'd love to just jump in and start talking about it. I would love that, but I legally cannot.
Oh, that's right.
Until I get a synopsis from my good friend, yours and mine.
One second, I'm answering an Instagram poll.
Oh, 100% of people.
I wonder who that was.
Wow, so far the data's strong.
Yeah, well, now that that's out of the way, now that I've done my part to fight the good fight, raise awareness for this critical figure in American history, this week's synopsis has no author. I believe it has always existed, even before the movie.
Did it spring forth?
From the head of Zeus, fully formed like Athena, as we always say. Athena, the goddess of wisdom, writes... Black photographer Chris Washington reluctantly agrees to meet the family of his white girlfriend, Rose Armitage. During their drive to the family's countryside estate, they hit a deer. Though Chris was not driving, the white policeman asks for Chris's identification. Rose intervenes, and the incident goes unrecorded. At the house, Rose's older brother Jeremy and their parents, neurosurgeon Dean and hypnotherapist Missy, make discomfiting comments about black people. Chris witnesses strange behavior from the estate's black workers, housekeeper Georgina and groundskeeper Walter. Credits.
That's the end of the...
I think they watched the first 30 minutes and were
right?
Like,
this is just things that stood out to me.
I think I know what this is.
So Bradley Whitford, what did she call him? What? Dean?
Dean.
Neurosurgeon? Neurosurgeon Dean. That sounds like just a branch off of like a Barbie, like
neurosurgeon Dean, hypnotherapist. Yeah. DC.
Golly. Yeah. Well, okay. That's great because we get to finish that for them. We get to.
So let's start there.
You know what they did, guys? You know what they did?
What'd they do?
They wrote part of a synopsis. They dropped the mic and got out.
Hmm. That's right.
Nice. That's really good.
I see you.
That's really good.
Much like you did for becoming a hunk, you got out.
You got out.
Much like I did when I realized none of my coworkers knew who Zordon was. I got right
just
out
got
of there.
Got out. Now, you were asking somebody for the keys.
Each of us has brought one of these. And Doge, this one's yours. Why'd you pick it?
Because Jordan Peele is in my Campfire 5.
Sure.
We talked. I don't intend to keep bringing that up. Jordan Peele is a source of huge creative inspiration to me. Jordan Peele is... this movie just really took me by surprise when I watched it when it came out. I was not expecting to love it as much as I did. It's way smarter than I thought horror could be. It has way more to say than I thought horror could say. And it's just... somehow I think it's even greater than the sum of its parts.
Yeah, I think that's... I think that's all valid. It's all really good.
We've talked a lot in McNuggles. We've talked a lot in Chunktober about...
wasn't Chunktober McNuggles a Confederate general?
Probably. A Chunktober is when like a diver slips in competition. Like usually when they hit the water.
Yeah.
It's a Chunktober. Man. What was I going to say? Oh, we've already talked about
nighttime energy. So weird right now.
In Chunktober, we have discussed that relationship between comedy and horror.
Totally. Yeah.
And what better place to just start talking about that again in this movie than our director who was.
It feels like a called shot, right? It feels like a year before this, if you had said, hey, Jordan Peele's first film is going to be a horror film nominated for Best Picture, everybody would be like, the guy from Key and Peele, are you serious?
Yeah.
But this totally feels like Jordan Peele was like, hey, I can do it. Just trust me.
Was this before or after Keanu?
I think it was after Keanu.
Okay. So are we counting that?
First solo feature.
Did he direct Keanu? I don't remember. Was that a him and
I don't remember.
Michael Key together direction or was it somebody else?
I don't remember. I'm not sure. We have the technology. I'm going to look it up on IMDb.
It's a good point.
2016. So it was the year before. Written by Jordan Peele and Alex Rubens, directed by Peter Atencio.
Okay, so this is, directorial debut.
Right,
yes, sir.
What a movie to for be real. Your first.
Yeah, wins an Oscar for it, gets nominated for director as well. That's huge. That didn't really happen.
Yeah.
Especially for horror and especially as a directorial debut.
Genre fiction in general. It was a good couple of years for genre fiction, all leading up to Shape of Water.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right.
Absolutely.
And it is so interesting. I mean, there is an inherent conversation that I think needs to be had when like three white men come together to talk about a movie like Get Out, in the sense of we are underqualified to talk about a lot of the horror elements in this movie because a lot of the horror elements are exaggerated, but versions of what like people of color are facing constantly. I mean, the backyard party is, I mean, full, I mean, it's all an allegory, but I mean, it's full of these small, tiny moments of what a lot of people would consider quote unquote harmless racism. And you see the way that it adds up. And I mean, obviously it's all heightened and exaggerated for the sense of horror, but I mean, I think we have a responsibility as the audience in any movie to do our best to empathize with characters and place ourselves into the viewpoint of who we are watching, like the lens we're watching through. But especially if you are a white viewer of a black created piece of art, we have a responsibility to do everything we can to empathize, and anything we don't understand to go learn about, because that is a viewpoint that is incredibly different from what we have. And the backyard scene, I feel like we don't typically do this, but the backyard scene feels like a great place to start in regards to that conversation, because it is just a culmination of death by a thousand cuts.
Well, I think that's part of like the backyard scene to me fits alongside, I think the first exposure we get to that particular type of horror in this movie is whenever the police officer is asking to see Chris's ID for no reason other than one very obvious reason. And so I think the thing that makes this horror so effective is that it is like in The Shining, in It Follows, in Cabin in the Woods, that horror is invented whole cloth, right? There is no rational part of me that has a fear of inbred hillbilly zombies in the woods or like some no rational part of me, notice I said, or some like malevolent entity that's taking control of a hotel, taking over me, or some sort of creepy wee sports demon, right? Those are invented whole cloth. But this type of horror, this is rooted in a lived reality that I know the three of us on this video call, on this podcast, have not lived, but it is very much a lived reality. And so this, like this horror rooted in racist actions is not like its own tree root system branches. This is a branch off of a tree that very much exists in reality.
Yeah. Something that's just so unique about this movie too, especially because, I mean, knowing that it was Jordan Peele made it a huge deal because everyone's finding out like this is his debut, right? Is horror. We don't know yet that he's just fascinated with this and has been for a long time. And this has been a plan for a long time. But there are moments, especially with our backyard scene, with the backyard party, that Jordan Peele is unique, is giving us something fresh and new that we haven't seen from him before, but also very familiar. I mean, you think of a lot of the sketches.
Right.
A lot of those were social commentary in terms of like the work that was done there, even from our classroom where the names are being mispronounced, like mispronounced and stuff. Like there was always you know, a point to be made. And so it's brand new and yet altogether not too new for him. And I think that's really unique.
Well, and I think, so the thing that stands out the most to me, it was almost my super pump, but I felt the need to be more specific in my super pump, and I'll do that later. But the thing that stands out to me the most about Get Out, not just in the genre of horror, but just in movie making, this movie is, when you look at a timeline of the story of this movie and like what actually happens and quote unquote set pieces, this is a small, tight, brilliant movie. I mean, this movie is, as far as scope goes, it is laser focused. It is virtually airtight.
Dude, I think they filmed it in 27 days.
Yeah, that's what I saw as well, which is wild. Nuts. And it's just so smart. And I want to point out at our beginning, not our very beginning, and I do want to talk about that in just a second, but at the cop scene, that's for me when I start to catch on to, and I don't know that I saw this the first time I watched it, but this time it was the first time I started to catch on to a continued metaphor throughout the movie, which is vacant allyship, or I don't know what word to use, like a selfish allyship.
Performative.
Yes, but even more so, like the character Allison Williams, Rose has something to gain by protecting Chris here. I mean, it's not immediately obvious what that is if you don't know the story, but it becomes obvious she doesn't want a paper trail leading back to her. But this kind of, I guess, allegory throughout the movie of it looks like she's sticking up for Chris because he was being treated wrong, but she's really sticking up for him because of what she has to gain by making sure that he's treated right. And we see that
also probably doesn't want record of him being pulled over right there because he'd give away his ID.
Right. That's
what I was like, rabbit traily.
I have, it's okay. Big rabbit trail. I have our first check-in from our Zordon poll on Instagram. And we do have somebody that's replied and said, of course I gave a speech on him in seventh grade.
Yes, 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 yes.
So we got at least one other Zordon stan out there. Anyway.
Excellent.
That is very good. But do you know what I'm saying though?
Like that is something that's totally, it's so gross to watch that.
Sure. And it's a through line that we see all through. I don't know, this time, this watch in particular, I couldn't help but in the backyard scene really pick apart or try to pick apart like every individual interaction he has with somebody who is literally there to weigh whether or not they want to purchase his blackness for themselves. And like all of the like selfish reasons, like, you know, they didn't see Chris, they saw athleticism, or they didn't see Chris, they saw functional hips for playing golf, or they didn't see,
and I think that, you know, all the backyard kind of scene to me is a metaphor for black art and the way that that's been co-opted. And so like when we hear, as white folks, you know, the existing power structure, when folks like that hear black music or watch black film, then they don't see the blackness in it. You know what I mean? They don't see that this is a natural result of somebody's lived reality that's inherently different from theirs. They just see, that's a cool beat. I'm going to copy that for my, you know what I mean? Like, and there's,
I
like
think
elements
that's why
of like,
he included the guy that wanted to bid so that he could be cooler. I mean, they
yes,
literally bring that
absolutely
up. And that's so interesting. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
This movie is so brilliant. And I want to start to talk about the merits of the movie itself, but I mean, you just can't overstate the brilliance of Jordan Peele's approach to a horror movie that is literally about, I mean, I know that there's tons of people who their ears perk up and they get all finicky about this, but like cultural appropriation, like they, it's a horror movie about the horrors of having identity stolen from an entire culture. I don't know, man. It's just nuts.
And given to the dominant culture. Exactly.
Right. And let's run all the way back to the actual opening of this movie. I'd like to do that because I just watched Halloween, John Carpenter.
Yeah.
And, this opening was inspired by that, and I totally see it. You know, the suburban kind of whatever, like stereotypical suburban neighborhood, and something horrific happens and none of the other houses seem to care about it. Like, I don't know. It's just so interesting.
Yeah. Well, you talk about how tight the movie is too. Like that is,
oh my gosh. Yeah.
A lot of Jordan Peele loves horror movies, obviously, but a lot of this is kind of a love song too. Two horror movies. Like we're getting without the blatant homage. Like there's just things about, you know, you think of the psychos of the world and things like that. Mm-hmm. And it's like two settings and we hardly get any more than that.
Yeah. That's a great point. I mean, even things like our first character that we see on screen, like our first person that we get to like identify with as a character dies or not dies, but is taken from us on screen is very reminiscent of something like a Psycho, where our point of view gets taken from us.
Mm-hmm. It Follows did that.
Yeah, totally.
The Shining is only in a hotel. Like, yeah, there's some correlations here.
It's so interesting, man. I got to stop saying the word interesting. I'm just interested by this movie. But the way that this movie is unique while being a love song to something that exists already is fascinating to me. Like there is nothing else that gives me vibes quite similar to this, and yet it so clearly is humming the same notes.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely.
I think a lot to do with the rewatchability of this movie to me personally is, you know, we talk about the tightness and just how well everything was put together. I really think the cinematography, I think it's a beautiful movie.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of really pretty stuff and it's just morbidly good to look at. You know, there's like moments even as it gets gory that you're like, oh, like this, I think this too is maybe the first movie we've had that has been in 4K, like to be able to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. The 4K was worth it for this one.
Yeah. 100%.
It was discounted for me.
Eating it up.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was only $1.99. Totally worth it.
Nice. Way to go. He was almost understandably my super pump. He's not, but you know, talk about and this was not his first movie. I think this might be when he did Black Panther come out after?
It came out after this. Yeah.
Okay. So, please help me pronounce his last name.
Daniel Kaluuya, Chris. I believe.
Kaluuya.
Yeah.
Daniel Kaluuya.
Oh man.
Does such an incredible job,
dude,
in this movie.
Daniel Kaluuya is my super pump.
Yeah,
I mean,
the scene
that they showed at the Oscars, I don't remember if he was nominated for best actor or if it was for Jordan Peele's reel. The scene they showed at the Oscars of him in the chair, like the first time he's in the chair, like when he gets hypnotized by Missy, that like kind of like laugh, like trying not to cry, but like
he does that a few times, man.
Yes, like, it's so good. He's amazing in that.
There was something, he stands out to me, and honestly, our actress from It Follows, but he stands out to me as someone who does give such a, you know, he plays the main victim of that movie, and the victim role feels like, or the hunted, or whatever you'd want to call it, feels like something that is in all good horror movies. There is a certain realism about Chris and how he is reacting to everything that is happening.
Oh my gosh.
That is equal parts modern. You know, it's like how I feel like I would react. I don't think that just has to do with it, you know, I don't know, just being down to earth. It's just like, it feels like such a 2016 reaction to something like that. Like,
dude,
I don't know.
Our main character in a horror movie is smart and it just feels good.
Yeah. It feels real good. Feels real, real good.
I don't know. This was my first introduction to, maybe not my first, but the first I ever really realized that I was watching smart horror. Like I don't mean smart, like you wouldn't get it. I mean smart, like the way it was written, it respects the characters enough to treat them like a real person.
Absolutely.
Which is interesting.
Is there a single jump scare?
Yeah, I would say that there's like maybe two.
Yeah, Georgina has a few.
Yeah, and I like guess when grandpa's running at the camera.
Oh, I would have said the deer when he dreams about the deer and it screams at him or whatever.
I think when he hits Georgina when he's escaping, that was a jump for me.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's good. True.
Yeah.
No, and that's what's so interesting. This dude.
Yeah, you said it again.
I can't stop. That's what I like. This movie's horror comes less from tension within a moment and more situational tension.
Yeah.
So to explain kind of what I mean, you look at something like It Follows and there's something banging on the door and you know it's right outside and that's scary. Mm-mm. But in this movie, it's more like the subtext is what's scary. The moment itself is trying really hard to present itself as innocent.
Yeah.
And the subtext is what is so scary. You know, there are moments that stand out as extra scary. You know, when the entire house full of party guests goes dead quiet when he walks up the staircase, ooh, that's really unsettling. Ooh,
yeah. I don't like it.
You know, you've got moments like that. You've got where are the keys, you know, you've got all that kind of stuff, which is pretty traditional horror scary. But for the most part, it's just this sense of malice underneath this veneer of kindness that is really unsettling.
Yep.
And it's that, I think it is that juxtaposition, like the dichotomy of sinister and smiling that freaks me right out for so much of this movie.
When Allison Williams is talking to Rod, which we haven't even talked about Rod yet, but when Allison Williams is talking to Rod and remaining completely expressionless.
Almost my super pump was that scene.
So unsettling.
And props to Allison Williams because
she's amazing in this.
Bananas. I mean,
yeah. She's my super pump. Okay. So I don't think she feels like such an important cog to the machine that is this wonderful, wonderful movie because she is the scariest part on many levels to me. You know, we do talk about like her scene where she's expressionless on the phone.
Yeah.
Her immediate change once she holds those keys up. There's just a lot of really brilliant stuff that she's doing. I want to look at, you know, who are our supporting actress nominees.
Has anybody ever done anything more messed up in the world than eat dry Fruit Loops one bite at a time?
And then drink the milk through a straw.
Such a fun thing. And then even too, as she's being suffocated and just smiling at him, like the thing that is the ultimate super pump though, I think what has the most fuel for me is she is to me the most despicable character because of her resume of having lied and doing the long play, looking up the NCAA prospects for her next catch.
One of whom is Keegan-Michael Key, by the way.
Yes.
Really? Yeah.
So here's something that happens, and here's something that I think also makes Jordan Peele brilliant, is while this is wonderfully unique for a black audience, there are certain certain scary parts to this that are scarier, like for a white person in a convicting way. Because there's moments that no part of you wants to think that you are anything like Rose Armitage. But sometimes you might, right? It is a artistic way at saying we put on a face for our black friends, right?
Yeah.
Or we do these certain things. We know the cards to play, right? I think there's something deep within people that knows the right thing to say to kind of get away with something and just make it look like you're the hero when deep down, right? We get to see it for her and all of its gore that she really is not. She's an awful person, but not to say that I feel anything like 100% like Rose.
Sure, but that's the point,
fact
right?
that there's bits of me that I see in her.
Right.
She's terrifying. A horror movie villain who is covering her racism with empty allyship, like what Jordan was talking about
100%.
Earlier. Like the fact that her allyship is not accompanied by actions means it's not.
And in fact, the opposite.
Setting that aside, her allyship not being accompanied by allied actions means that it wasn't allyship.
Right.
It was lip service to the idea. Yeah.
Yep.
I think that's a good point. And Carter, it's so funny because my first reaction was to be like, hey, I don't think we should say that because that doesn't sound true. And then I was like, oh, that's a defense mechanism.
Dude,
I feel it. That's what I'm saying. It was interesting. I read an interview, or maybe it was in the trivia, with Allison Williams saying that of the people she talked to about her character that insisted that Rose, you know, they were like, so Rose was brainwashed the whole time? And Allison Williams was like, no, she was just a bad person. And they're like, no, but she, you know, she had to be a product of all this abuse and stuff. She's like, no, she's just a bad person.
People,
she said
people
that
want an out.
Everybody who said that about Rose was white. She said not a single black audience member had any trouble understanding that somebody who seemed so nice could be so rotten. And I think that this movie, and you're right. And Carter, the only part, I would be hesitant to say there are elements scarier so much as there are elements to this movie that allow it to be equally scary because the fear for at least for me, I guess I'll speak for myself, but I want to say the fear for a white audience is that in me?
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm saying in comparison to the other scary moments of the movie, there are certain things I can't relate to as a white person.
Sure, yeah.
But the things that have been provided for me are very scary.
Terrifying.
And so those are scarier than the things that are not meant as much for me.
Right.
And so it's like it is meant for everybody to learn something. I think that's great.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's a really good point.
No, I'm not saying this movie's scarier for white people.
Can we get that on a quote, like on an Instagram, maybe, like Carter thinks Get Out is scarier for white people?
That's
oh
great.
Oh my gosh.
That's great.
No.
Hey, this does feel like a good chance real quick to talk about the soundtrack. Find a new host. there is, I'm trying to think if there are any more licensed songs other than Childish Gambino's Redbone.
I don't think so.
The main theme for this
movie.
That
Swahili thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That dissonance, if I can just get music nerdy for just a second.
Oof.
Nope. It's so unsettling, but also so pretty. And I get like full body chills every time I hear them hold out that long note after the word brother. Ooh. Ugh. But it's just brilliant, man. And did you see that? I think it was Jordan Peele said that. He had intended for that chorus of voices to be the spirits of all of the black people that the Armitage family had done this to, urging him to get out.
Ooh.
Armitage family through the centuries. So right. He says, this is the spirits of black slaves and lynching victims telling Chris to get out of there. The Swahili translates to listen to the elders, run, run, you have to leave.
Wow.
Bananas. Bananas.
Oof.
And there's like a whole backstory to this movie where like the Armitages are connected to like the Knights Templar and are searching for eternal life through the Holy Grail and found it through this surgery that I kind of wish had been gone into a little bit, but I also love the ambiguity. I am going to just sort of sticker tap my super dump onto the fact that we tease this big John Wick size criminal underworld and don't really get any more information on it, mostly because I had a really, 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 really difficult time super dumping. So I'm just going to stick a pin in it right there and call it done.
Fair enough.
And the other
place fulfills your legal requirement.
Yeah. So I'm good there. You guys heard it. Everybody heard it. I super dumped.
Have don't you super pumped?
No, not yet.
I was going to say you could hang up if you had.
Yeah, I'll see you guys later.
Done.
No, but what I am going to do is stick one more fork in the road so that we can take the one less traveled all the way to Shout Announcements. Welcome to Shout Announcements. It's been a while since that was annoying, so I had to really slam that
dude,
one.
Yeah, dude, it really has. It has been a while.
It's been so long.
You're right.
It's annoying. Look. I want to talk to you, Chunks, about two chunks, mostly our socias. And I'm not talking about the outsiders. I'm talking about Twitter and Instagram. Why don't you go ahead, jump on there, give us a quick follow. You'll thank me later because there is just so much juicy content coming out of both of those auras, atmospheres, places, social media accounts. And I think you're really going to dig what we've got. And speaking of digging things, what I would dig is if you would keep your phone open, because I know it's open right now, and hop on over and give us a little rate and review. We are absolutely barreling towards our ultimate goal of 1 million reviews.
1 million yen.
And closer than we were 2 days ago.
That's true. And you could be a huge, huge part of that. Roughly one out of a million. And I think you're one in a million already. So would you prove it to me? And drop us a rate and review, preferably 5 stars, because that's the kind that makes me happy.
Do y'all recognize that very recognizable riff?
Is that John Mayer? That is that Neon?
John Mayer original Patreon? When he asks, please go sign up for their Patreon. Patreon. Oh,
no, that's
Patreon.
It. No, you're done. That's it. That's all it needs.
It's Patreon. If you need more content that is almost as good as what I've just given today, if you need more, it just costs you $3 a month, to be honest. It costs you $3 a month, a tease that's going to be lost in the bomb that was my impersonation of a acoustic guitar. Is that Patreon is going to get a little more beefy pretty soon. So be on the lookout for that. And if you haven't listened to Neon, it's a pretty
good
song.
It's a very good song.
It still slaps. It still slaps.
That whole live album is one of my all-time favies. But
I knew you recognized it as soon as I was starting.
I didn't. I had to think about it. I had to run it through a filter in my brain. But yeah... I guess we don't want to give too much information, but there's more to Patreon than meets the eye. Actually, there's not yet, but there's about to
that's
be.
And that's not a Transformers reference. I know this has been heavy on.
We need to do another poll. Chunky, and see if people know what Transformers
are. Let's roll
are.
Out.
This has been heavy on our childhood culture. We're not doing Power Rangers. We're not doing Transformers. Something
what are
we are doing though next week. I want you guys to try and guess what impression I'm doing. Are you ready? 3, 2, 1.
Did you just do it?
Yeah, I did it. You listen close. I'll do it again. 3, 2, 1.
Pac-Man?
No, it's a silent lamb. And that's a sample of the great content that we're going to have next week when we talk about the silence of the lambs, which we've all just heard. But we're going to have a full hour of that next week. So please watch the great Anthony Hopkins do some spooky stuff.
I thought you were talking about the next thing you're about to tease. And no, I could not for the life of me figure out what your impression was.
The next thing I'm about to tease is actually a huge piece of my childhood culture, accidentally. Yeah. Let's all hearken back to a time of report cards and blockbusters, of slumber parties, and a fourth thing. It's Friday night. We're gathered around the television.
Stuffed crust. That feels like the era of stuffed crust more than any other.
Stuffed crust, probably. Switch over to Disney Channel. See what brand new thing their crazy creative chefs have cooked up for us this particular Friday. We're going to be doing a series of Disney Channel original movies. And we do have a name for it, obviously, as we do for every series. And so anyway, we're going to ask you guys... to vote on which movies should be a part of this series. You can find the poll at twochunksandahunk.com/vote. If you've been with us a while, you know all about these voting things, how they usually go, how to do it. Head there and cast your vote. If you are a patron, you do get to vote twice in this one. So that's super duper important. We want you to help us pick the DCOMs that will make our November just right.
I don't want to jump ahead to my super pump. I really don't. But I will if
don't.
I have to. What I want to
no,
what
don't
I
wanna, do it. Nobody's gonna
what
make
I
want
to talk about first is just general casting. And by that I mean literally every single person.
Every role is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm gonna give special up top props. I think are gonna go to Bradley Whitford, Allison Williams, Daniel Kaluuya, Catherine Keener, and of course Lil Rel Howery, but also Lakeith Stanfield, and somebody who I am realizing is a standout in every movie I have ever seen him in, Caleb Landry Jones.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah.
Very
what
much.
A,
three billboards.
Oh, yeah. My goodness. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. He's so creepy in this to the point that I expected him to be a bad person in three billboards.
I almost like I thought he was going to be my super dump because he is so like, it feels like he just watched The Dark Knight and was like, oh, that's perfect. I could just be creepy like Heath, but it actually really works and doesn't feel like it breaks the
world.
Isn't
that kind of that guy? Like, isn't that kind of who that, you know?
Yeah, no, I think so.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Stephen Root.
Yeah, I love Stephen Root.
Stephen Root is wonderful.
Yeah, Stephen Root is... Stephen Root.
He's the blind artist. He's
Jim Hudson.
Yeah, but he is also...
you know him from Barry.
Yeah, Fuchs. He's Fuchs in Barry.
Yep.
Barry. He also... Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? He's got the radio station. He plays a blind guy in that as well.
Interestingly enough, he plays Boyle's dad on
Brooklyn
Nine-Nine.
Oh, my goodness.
And Bradley Whitford plays Jake's dad on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Yep.
That's hilarious. Oh, how funny. I like Bradley Whitford in everything.
He's so good in everything.
This is actually our... no, I guess we haven't done another Catherine Keener movie.
It's their second Bradley Whitfield, second Lakeith Stanfield in less than a month. What did I say? Whitfield.
Knives Out.
It's Whitfield.
Oh, I was combining him and Lakeith.
I want Lakeith Stanfield in everything.
I think it's time to put him front and center in something.
I agree. Well, he was in Sorry to Bother You.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
I don't know that that got quite as much heat as... a lot of other movies that came out around the
Let's
same time.
Let's put him front and center in something big.
You know, I think I agree. And I don't know what age Marvel is shooting to make Static Shock or DC is. He's DC. I don't know what age DC is shooting to make Static Shock in their movies, but Lakeith, can you hear me?
Anybody that I want to have a career, I don't want to be in a DC movie.
I mean, I agree, but imagine him as superhero Static Shock, you know? I think that would feel very good.
Yeah, I like it in concept. It's the same thing as, like, I found this recipe on Pinterest one time for coffee chicken, and you use coffee grounds to season the chicken. And I was like, I love coffee. I love chicken. And it tasted like chicken that I dropped in the dirt. And I think any actor that is a great idea, like John David Washington's been getting a lot of buzz as Green Lantern. Like, yeah, that'd be cool, but... You know that it's going to turn out to be a mean one, Mr. Grinch, that you wouldn't touch with a 49 and a half foot pole.
That's a good point. If I may, the two words that first came to mind when you mentioned food and two things combining is just chili lime, which is always a win. So, I mean.
Well, yeah, sure. It is always a win. But like, what if it was Hormel canned chili plus limes? And it was like, you don't get chili lime. You get a can of chili with a lime on top, and I'm giving you a spoon and no can opener.
This feels like some real monkey's paw type situation to me.
Yeah, you just got to carefully, and with DC, you have to carefully phrase your wishes.
Yeah, I guess that's true. What's that gift?
On the superhero train here, though, like, our boy Caleb has been in a Marvel movie. He's been, not necessarily in the MCU.
Oh, yeah, he was in First Class, right? One of the X-Men movies?
Yeah, he's in an X-Men movie.
Yeah, I did not realize that. Probably because I don't care for the cinematic X-Men universe.
There you go. I like bits of it.
I like.
Tell you that much.
Some Logan. Of it's good. None of it's as good as Get Out, though, which is the movie we're supposed to be
Honestly,
talking about.
That is true. That's a great point.
We just got into we're coming out now of the sunken place as we all
Let's
get
talk about
back,
the sunken place.
Which is these rabbit trails we tend
Let's
to go
Let's talk
on.
About the sunken place. So I think, I haven't read this anywhere. I feel like every time somebody says sunken place, their tone dips. Did you guys notice that? Obviously the first time she says sink into the floor, that happens. But anytime anybody talks about the sunken place, it feels like it's like, oh yeah, you're in the sunken place. Like it feels like it drops down.
There's like a sub octave mixed in when she says sink into the floor. It's like a sub octave mixed in her dialogue.
Yeah, but I feel like anytime we hear the phrase sunken place, it does that. I cannot think of anything more existentially frightening than existing in the back of your own brain and watching your life play out through your eyes as somebody else directs your actions.
But
there is a
the
paralysis
thing,
like that, isn't there?
The Probably. Sunken place, Jordan Peele has said the sunken place is supposed to represent the systemic oppression of watching somebody else live and profit off of your culture and your creativity.
Sure, completely.
Man.
And it's
that's what makes the horror work for me, though, is that it's like, it's a visual representation of a very real lived experience.
Yes. And it is very well done. The effect of the sunken place is very well done. Like,
yeah,
it looks super cool. And I think it's because they mix practical and CG, which works really well here. Mm-hmm. But I mean, just you guys know me and allegory. Like, I love me a good, like, simile, metaphor, allegory. I'm all about it. And man, this works. And it works on a deeply frightening level.
Yeah.
I'm just impressed. I'm so impressed by, you know, there are some metaphors that it's like, I see how they got there, but somehow visually this just immediately translates.
Yeah.
And I think it is all credit where credit is due to Jordan Peele and his frankly unbelievable mind.
And I mean, Daniel Kaluuya's portrayal of this.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it works as well if we have a lesser actor sinking into the floor, right?
I think I agree with that. And did you read about his audition?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The tear fell at the same spot. Man, those are some crocodile tears.
For real.
Big, juicy tears. He's just so, so good here. And also Catherine Keener is very creepy as well. I am going to go ahead and talk about my super pump because it feels like it's time.
Tell me now.
Please, please.
Please tell me now.
The entire escape sequence.
Yep. When we get the inversion of hit a deer and it's this helpless creature that is basically has its existence ended by Allison Williams and her family. And we get the subversion where he rips the deer off the wall and uses that to kill her dad.
Yes, that's...
I like that part.
That is very good. For me, it is... Chris is so smart. He puts the cotton from the arm filling of the chair into his ears so that he is not overcome with hypnosis. He grabs the deer, uses it as a weapon. He knocks the cup off the table. Like, he makes sure to look for the cup because he knows that could be used against him. But in particular, the epitome, the culmination of all of this is the door scene. When he finds the pattern in what, is it Jeremy? In what Jeremy is doing.
Yep.
And every time he pulls that door open, Jeremy kicks it closed. So on that third time, he gets a scalpel to the knee.
Ugh.
It is just... Like, I remember watching it and being like, oh my gosh, he's so smart.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's sort of that Nolan thing of like, it feels obvious because it is written so well.
Yes.
But then we get all of that all the way to, you know, the car and is it Georgia or Georgina? I think it's Georgina. Georgina.
That is the most maybe the most terrifying performance.
Oof. Yeah.
Our actress who plays Georgina, the moment too that she had, we talk about tears.
Her like,
the
no,
moment
no,
that
no,
she,
no, 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 no.
It's like she's almost breaking Oof. Through.
Oh my gosh.
Betty Gabriel. Yeah. Just very raw fear.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing else happening. We are just watching somebody's face and we have a little bit of context. Mm-mm. Terrifying.
This is a movie that gets better to me every time I watch it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that there are many that
highly rewatchable
do
yeah.
that for me.
There's more to appreciate. There's new things to appreciate when you watch it again.
Can I super dump though?
Please.
Yeah.
It is actually right at the beginning, Jordan, of your super pump. So I'm curious to know your thoughts on this. When Chris is sitting in the chair watching when he's talking with the artist, I don't remember his name, the blind guy. Jim something, right?
Jim Hudson, yeah.
Jim Hudson. When he's talking with Jim Hudson via the TV and we keep getting cuts away to things that have already happened in the movie, it's like the editors putting the film together didn't have enough confidence that we could follow the conversation. So when he says the sunken place, we show the sunken place. When he says, you know, some people want basically all the reasons somebody would want to live in a black body.
Yeah.
It cuts to different people who have wanted those things. Like, it's pretty on the nose there. And I think it worked because we have to understand that element. But like, I would have loved a little bit more faith in the audience to put that together. And then it culminates in the worst line in the whole movie to me, which was my quote at the beginning when Jim's like, I want your eye, man. I want those things you see through.
Mm-hmm.
What a bad line to me.
Yeah, that's a bizarre line.
I want those things you see through. That's weird. That feels like that was ad-libbed and we didn't have the courage to be like, hey, bud.
Take that one again.
That's not it. That doesn't work. Try that one more time.
Yeah, I think that's It doesn't bother me. I mean, the line bothers me. I don't love that line at all.
The line, I think the line should have been, because he says it's something deeper, like it's something deeper than your body. He says, I want your eye, man, not I want your eyes. Like the whole thing is, he, not that he wants to see again, but the reason that he couldn't make it as a photographer was because he didn't have the eye. He should have said, I want your eye, man. I want the way you see things, not the things you see. It's that line, I think, messes up his character motivation in wanting to live in Chris's body.
Sure. And I hear what you're saying. And the line bothers me more than the flashes to the things they're talking about. That bothers me less. I guess it, in my head, it maybe makes the movie more accessible for people that weren't following it as well. Couldn't understand the motivations.
Yeah. I just don't feel like that's the filmmaker's job.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. Maybe there's a part of me that feels like the message of the movie is important enough to take 30 seconds to cater to the lowest common denominator for a second.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm saying is it doesn't bother me, but I get why it would. The line does bother me, and I think I'm getting Superior Spider-Man vibes. You know, the concept of, this is a very glib metaphor here, but Doc Ock thinking that it's Peter's body that makes him a great superhero, and then finding out that it's Peter's moral compass and life experience that makes him a great superhero.
It's Peter
himself. And I think maybe it would have been interesting to dive into, man, even if you put your brain in Chris's body, your eye is not going to change because his eye is his life experience. It's what you're talking about. It's the culmination of what makes him up as a person that gives him that eye. And I think that would be very interesting.
To me, that's a way better motivation. Like even, I honestly don't think we should have made him blind. Because that makes it that much more clear that what he's after is not Chris's body. He is, and this drives the metaphor home that these people are a metaphor for folks who steal culture and claim it as their own and steal artistic expression and claim it as their own. He's not after Chris's body. He even says, I don't care what color I am. He doesn't care about Chris's blackness. He wants Chris's success as an artist and can't see that is a result of his, it's inseparable from his blackness because it is a part of his upbringing. The way he's able to capture such brutal images. So what he says, they're brutal and honest, is because Chris has a brutal and honest outlook on the world that took his mother from him when he was a kid.
Right. Yeah. And going, I mean, putting your brain in Chris's body doesn't mean you suddenly lost your mother as a kid. You know what I mean?
Right.
No, I think that's...
But he can't see that. He can't see that he has...
Valid for sure.
He can't see that he's got a different experience. And he can't see that the things that he regards as like just a performative thing that Chris does, just a switch he's able to turn on, is inseparable from Chris's identity itself.
Sure. Yeah. And I appreciate how difficult it is to super dump on this movie. And I know the cracking ice that you feel beneath your feet as you attempt to Jordan Peele how to make Get Out better. But
absolutely.
I think it's a great point. You know, I think it really is, regardless of I don't think it has to ruin the movie to look at it and go, that could have been done a little bit better.
Sure. And then I step outside of my white body and I hear myself saying, no, Jordan Peele, this is how you tell a story about a villain who tries to steal somebody's culture. What am I saying?
Oh, so good. Oh, man. I don't know that I even want to spend time talking about what the second ending is, but there was a different ending originally planned and I'm glad we got this one.
Yeah, me too.
I think this ending feels like you get to catch your breath again. Finally, we get more Rod, which is never a bad thing.
And you can tell watching it, most of his lines were
ad-libbed. Dude, he's got to be the funniest person to hang out with if that is him ad-libbing these things.
For real.
Oh my goodness, man.
I'm going to share my super dump. And it is something that it's interesting. It definitely is caused by the movie, but it's not something that comes for me until much later. But the end, and again, especially horror can be creative in really different ways. The end feels abrupt. Yes. I mean, we get a huge win because our protagonist literally kills the entire family that is charged with this horrible thing that's been going on for centuries. But in my mind, and again, it's fine. Maybe my super dump is I wanted something spoon-fed, but then I've also said before in juxtaposition, like I really appreciate when things are just kind of left out there. It's not necessarily like the spinning top at the end of Inception, but like my hope would be that this entire society is outed because I know for sure there's about 30 to 40 variables that we don't tie a bow on at the end of this movie.
Oh, sure.
There's a lot of people that are going to stumble upon the fact, and maybe they're just going to be too terrified to say this is what they were doing, right? And maybe seek out help other places or just deal with their morality, you know? And that's a win to me, you know? But I with the creativity of Jordan Peele, I kind of wish he could have told me what happened to everything else.
Right.
But, and again, real nitpicky kind of thing. But
yeah.
I'm satisfied with everything. I'm satisfied with when the movie ends until after it's ended, which is so weird to say. It's like,
no, absolutely.
I like where it stopped, but then I think about it more and I'm like, oh, but
it would have been great if that was about an hour longer.
Right. Yeah. But maybe that's another thing too. Like the imagery is like the symbolism is actually, there are some wins out there, but that stuff still exists. Like that stuff is still out there.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, it's
one case dealt with.
Chris doesn't get to end everything. He just ended his own situation for now, you know? And so, yeah. Maybe that's the point.
It's the difference between like individual actions and institutionalized actions, right? Like you can eliminate the source of actions, but the bias of the system itself is much more difficult.
Yep. Well played. Mm-hmm. Well said.
Well, it is time.
I think I know what we're all going to rate this.
Hey, shut up.
Because all of our super dumps were a little flimsy.
Shut up. My super dump was well thought out and
intentional.
What do you
mean all?
We're going to rate this movie. And we're going to do it using science, the same science used to swap brains around by neurosurgeons.
But we use it only for good, never for evil.
It is the Scientific Cinema Scale. It is a proprietary technology, and it is as follows. The best thing we could ever say about a movie is own it. Don't lend it.
Buy that poster.
The next best thing is buy it. After that is rent it. That's followed by stream it, and then forget it. And last, but certainly least, the worst thing we could ever say about a movie is...
God hath forsaken us.
I will go first because I'm an original and I'm the first one to rate it. And so anybody...
Buy the poster.
Buy the poster. I'm buying the poster.
Yeah, I'm going to buy the poster too.
I was first.
It's perfect. It's so good.
I want more Jordan Peele quicker. He's done us and that...
Us after rules.
He's done a lot of affiliated
things.
Dude,
I loved Us. It needed better ratings. I don't agree with its IMDb score at all.
Us rules.
I need that actual original, he is influencing almost everything stuff from him, though. I need a little bit more. I'm being selfish here. But it is the season. You know, Halloween, it's like we're gorging a little bit on certain things. But yeah, I might get irritated if the next five credits of his are these things where it's produced by or you know, in
right now attaching his name to your project is pretty much a guaranteed win.
Well, for sure.
Is Candyman out yet?
It's not the same.
I wonder how Candyman's gonna do because it's produced by Jordan Peele. Lovecraft Country's tearing it up right now. His name's on that.
Lovecraft Country is so good.
I know, and I'm not saying those things aren't good. I'm just saying they're not
Get Out or Us. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. There's certainly an original flavor going on here that we're not getting elsewhere.
Well, and he was a voice in Toy Story 4, and you can really see the horror influences in that movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Y'all, he doesn't, on IMDb, he doesn't even have anything announced in production. Oh, like he has two credits as a director. It's Get Out and Us. Come on, dude.
Come on, man.
16 as a producer.
Jordan Peele, what are you thinking, doing? Man?
Come on,
it's because he's hanging out at my campfire too much.
Now, here's the thing, though. He did write Candyman. He wrote the screenplay. So
I didn't realize that. Okay.
Maybe.
I think it's going to be pretty good.
But
honestly,
I'm still disappointed.
The trailer was fantastic.
I changed everything I said about Jordan Peele. Looks creepy as heck.
I don't think I've watched
it.
Look, we are continuing and finishing the Chunktober series next week with the final movie technically brought by all three of us, but I'm going to give this credit to Carter. Carter can enjoy this particular movie with some fava beans and a nice Chianti because that movie is...
Carter's never seen it.
Yeah, it'll be Carter's first time.
This is my first watch. Yeah, I'm excited.
I think he's probably going to hate it, but it is Silence of the Lambs and I am pumped to watch it, to talk about it, all that stuff. It feels like a long time coming. It really does.
Mm-hmm.
What a
I'm
closer.
Excited. Oh, breaking news. Not breaking news. It's been around for a while. As I'm looking at Candyman, I thought I remember this and I did. Yahya Abdul-Mateen is the lead in that. Who we were talking about that has been
oh, wow.
I did not put that together.
It's like he became the lead simultaneously with like Watchmen's just starting. All these things like
gotcha.
Yeah.
He's one of those when oh my goodness gracious. I'm so upset at myself right now. Season 3 of True Detective, guys.
Oh, Mahershala.
Mahershala Ali.
Mahershala just dropped everything. Like at one point, like Mahershala just took over the movie business. And it feels like Yaya is having a similar thing to where it's just back to back to back that somebody, his agent or whoever was booking stuff for him, just got a good eye. Yeah,
no kidding.
Good season.
Well,
guys, before we close, I need to bring an update to the great question of our day. Oh, and that is, do people know who Voltron, or not Voltron? Ooh, ooh, that's another
really
one.
Good question.
Do people know who Zordon is? Guys, 59% of people said totally. 41% said no way. Let me read a couple of the particularly damning no ways. Are you ready for this?
Darning.
Carter, your own wife said no way, which disappoints me greatly.
Mm.
Jordan, your own sister said no
way. We weren't allowed to watch Power Rangers. Mm. My mom said it was too violent. I only know Zordon because I absorbed by cultural osmosis.
I realized that I accidentally said sister the same way Darth Vader says sister.
Sister.
A sister.
Sister.
A sister. Anyway, yeah. Less than conclusive in terms of the number of folks who are acquainted.
It's now 55 to 45.
If for some reason or another, bafflingly, you are still listening to this episode, don't forget that soon you will be able to vote in the Disney Channel original movie polls.
And if there's one vote you do this year, I'm kidding.
Hey, and good point. As this episode comes out, polls are still open to vote in the presidential election. You know what to do.
Patrons, you don't get to vote twice in that one.
To end today's episode, I'd like for us each...
Oh, I'm so sorry. With the DCOM, though, it is a mail-in ballot this year. There's only one spot that you can take that, though, to have that vote count.
No matter how many people live
in
your area.
Go ahead, Jordan.
To end today's episode...
We are going to try to suppress those DCOM votes. We don't want high DCOM turnout.
I'd like for us each to say our name and to say what a horror movie made specifically for an audience of you would be about.
Ooh.
So, for Two Chunks and a Hunk, I'm Jordan... And it would be a movie about a big spider that tried to trap me into talking about boring things when I had things to do.
Oof.
I'm Doge. The horror movie designed specifically for me is called Your Mortality. Remember, dude, you already spent this whole day. You don't get it back, and there will never be another October 2020.
It's called No Refunds.
Ooh.
Hmm.
It's called You Break It, You Buy It.
Mine would be called Sunny Day. And I have, up until now, felt like my life hasn't been perfect, but it's been wonderful. Like, things have been wonderful and great. And I've got good friends. I love Two Chunks. I love my job. I love all these things. But I'm beginning to discover, almost like Truman, the Truman Show, that there's something else going on. And maybe I am not fully in control. Only to look down and begin to notice that there's a giant arm up my
Sesame
butt.
Street.
Yep.
And I've been a puppet the whole time.
Mm. Sunny Day, taking those clouds away. Mm.
Can you tell me how...
It's in minor, though, and it's like...
How to get to Sesame Street.